This is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, 91.9, KTCB Tillamook, 89.5, and coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. And a big thank you to everyone who donated on Giving Tuesday. You know, Coast Community Radio started that, but most people don't know that. We started it after the 2007 storm. We gave a huge thanks to the community for supporting us when every other station in the area was off the air and we were the only ones here. And so we decided to have a fundraiser to pay for the fuel that it took to keep us on the air. And then the rest of the country popped in with this Giving Tuesday thing. So that was very wise of them. In the meantime, we brought in $17,000, which was substantially above our goal. So thank you so, so much to everyone. It's a gorgeous day today, a little gray and overcast. It is December 6th, 2019, in the Pacific Northwest. So the weather is perfect. And it is time for Arts Live and Local. Thanks for being here, folks. Want to give a big shout out to all of you who are listening. And I'm going to send the healing wishes along with the listening wishes. Whether you're in a hospital or getting out of one, whether you're pulling a fundraiser to help support you, or just staying on this planet and making music. To Joan, to Maggie, to Josh, to Toby, and to all of you who have returned from Nova Scotia, we're so glad you're here. Of course, we give a shout out to Lance de Bellevaux also, and Seashell and Squamish, and Sydney and Robin and Omaha, and to Bob and Vivian on the west side of Manhattan, and Susan on the east side, Donnie in the L.A. region, and the Wyoming family. And, of course, to Brownsmead with a big thank you. I just want to say that Ruth Bader Ginsburg is here in the studio with us. That's all I have to say. We're very, very happy about it. Thanks for being here. We're going to start out with some gorgeous music from my first guests. You are listening to Morning Star, played by my guest, one of my guests, Lisa Lynn, and written by Lisa. And I believe, well, I'm going to let Lisa tell us a little bit about this, because I thought I knew what I was talking about earlier when I was listening to one of Patrick's pieces, and it turned out it was just one person, but I believe there are more than...
Well, you're listening to an original piece of music I wrote called Morning Star. I actually wrote it for a Christmas CD on the Windham Hill label.
Oh.
And the instruments you are hearing were playing is the Celtic harp and the Swedish nickel harpa. Aria and I both played all the instruments you heard on that piece, and we're actually going to be playing that song tonight in our concert.
Nice. So the album I'm using right now, called The Legends of the Celtic Harp, A Winter Gift, that's exactly what we're going to be doing tonight, what you're going to be doing tonight.
We sure hope so.
So those are the voices, as you heard, Lisa Lynn and Aria Frankfurter. And I also have Patrick Ball in the studio. Hi, Patrick.
Hi. Lovely to be here.
Yeah, definitely. And all of them were here what year?
I think it was at least 3, but possibly 4 years ago. Lisa and I came back about 2 years ago and did a duo show, but it was about 3 or 4 years ago since we were here.
So this will be our third time performing.
Okay, that's what why I was coming. So when did I take my first and only harp lesson with Lisa?
That was 2 years ago when we were here. We brought the probably 15 or 20 harps.
You sure
and
did.
We put on a little
You filled the
workshop.
Stage.
Yeah, that was really fun.
And
really
it was
fun.
A blast.
Yep,
was...
I still do that. We do that all the time. We'll have to do it again sometime.
Nice. And this is a reality because I understand that Lisa and Aria now live in Oregon.
That's right. We're not far away at all. We moved from San Francisco to Alpine, Oregon, which is just 2 hours south of Portland.
So you're in the country.
We're in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
10-acre farm.
Yeah. The country where you get to
And Patrick has since moved to Ireland since he was last year.
You were an American, and now you're an expat.
Mm-hmm.
And where are you living? What part of Ireland?
I was deported by ICE.
Mach dich nicht lustig. Don't make so much fun. You know, they'll be listening.
No, they're out there just right now.
So where did they send you, or where did you choose to go?
Well, I live in County Clare in Ireland, which is in the west on the west
Southwest,
coast.
Southwest, yeah.
It's a beautiful part of Ireland called the Burren, covered with limestone for the most part. Mm. Lots of bright, bright green fields and... Not unlike here, and it rains quite a lot, but it's a beautiful place to live. And we've been there for about a year, and very happy.
So what made you decide? I can understand why they moved to Oregon from California, that's obvious, but what made you decide? Where were you living before, by the way?
I was living in Sebastopol, in California.
Oh, you were also California.
Yeah,
okay.
And I found living in Sebastopol was a lovely thing, but there were too many salads available in California. And Lisa loves Ireland because she just loves...
Is this a non-vegetarian speaking? Is that what I'm hearing?
He's joking because I was in search of a salad for our whole tour there, and so he teases me.
I see. Well, I'm glad, Lisa. We'll talk later.
Okay. Yeah.
So I actually was fortunate enough in 2013 to spend... I went over with Ann Feeney to Ireland, and we spent the time a couple of weeks in the Southwest, and then I stayed on a few more weeks. I thought I was going to go to Dublin, maybe even to Northern Ireland, but I never got out of the Southwest. It was so wonderful.
Yeah, there's really no reason to, unless you want sort of the buzz of the big city, but it's just, I find it completely mesmerizing.
So are you playing music every night?
No.
One could.
Well, you could, yeah. In fact, we mentioned that in the show. The place is just really quite alive with every imaginable kind of traditional music, every instrument. Mm-hmm. And, what's kind of lovely about it is that I've toured around for many years and met most of the reasonably famous musicians. And I would see them in concerts or, you know, headlining major festivals, but it would not be uncommon in Ireland to just walk into some pub and hear these just absolutely extraordinary musicians playing just for a relatively small number of people and sometimes not even a cover charge. And it's just so shocking to see that happen. I mean, one of Arye's heroes, Vesson, the guy from Vesson, the Nickel Harbor player from Vesson, was just playing in this place in La Hinch, Cliffs of Moher Hotel in Liscannor. And my wife and I just went in there and just were absolutely shocked to see this guy playing in there. And that happens all the time.
Yeah, yeah, which is so exciting. The one thing that we were told is if you do go to a pub and they're sitting around playing music and there is no charge, buy a drink. Even if you don't drink, buy something. You know, I got hot chocolate one night because I couldn't drink any more beer. And so, you know, just to keep the money flow going because it's certainly...
So did you spend much time in Clare?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. Yeah, actually, I was there. Hurling was between the two forces, and the place was insane. I'm still in my car. There's a yellow and blue ribbon hanging that I picked up.
Well, they're tremendous sports people. You know, the closest town to us is called Corrafin in County Clare. And it's not a very prosperous, thriving sort of place. It's a very charming place, but it's a very, you know, they have a really thriving athletic organization there, the GAA. And sometimes when you're going through town, it's very quiet, you know, and and then suddenly there'll be just this tremendous stream of cars going by, all holding flags, because the under-9 girls team just won like a regional championship, and all these 9-year-old girls are with their heads sticking out the window, screaming their heads off, going through town back and forth,
everybody
comes out of the pubs and
the spirit is so strong.
It is. It's great.
And and the music. So have either of you been to Ireland?
Well, yes. Well, as Patrick mentioned, we were Patrick brought us over about 3 years ago to perform at the O'Carolan Festival in County Meath,
the place
in Knobber.
Of his birth.
O'Carolan's birth. And we had a fabulous time performing. It was a little intimidating to perform for these Irish harp players.
The 9-year-old girls.
Yeah, 9-year-old girls.
They tolerate us. The table.
But we had a fabulous time.
Not.
And then Patrick was an over. Sort of overqualified tour guide and brought us to a few places like Sligo and other great areas. So we had a great time.
I've been there once before for a harp conference, just attending a harp conference. Mm-hmm. That was really special.
A harp conference. Mm-hmm. What does one do at a harp conference?
Take classes and learn from the masters and jam sessions and fun stuff like that.
Well, the harps that you brought that time, it was just gorgeous looking at them, not to mention playing, because you had all different sizes and explanation. So tonight's concert is at the Performing Arts Center in Astoria, that's 16th and Franklin, and there'll be tickets at the door. And what did we say? It's a 7 o'clock concert?
Yes, 7 o'clock.
And so you want to get there by 6:30. Doors open, and you'll be able to choose your seat. And you're going to be playing music. You're also going to be telling stories. And then will you talk about your instruments as well?
Oh, yes. We do it all. You'll see and hear three different harps playing. I play some various citern, mandolin-type instruments, the Swedish nickel harpa, which sounds like this. And Patrick plays a very rare wire-strung harp that's hardly ever seen, and it's all interwoven with stories. There's a lot of humor. It's a new show for us for winter, and it does have some seasonal holiday things in it, and Patrick is our lead masterful storyteller.
Well, I would love to, since you brought up these instruments, why don't you give us something
live?
I'll
give you a little sample.
Something short. And I need to say, though, when Lisa says, here's what the nickel harpa sounds like, you really need to see this instrument. How many strings are on that? And it's got all these buttons that you push and all sorts of...
Yeah, you have to see it to believe it. It's got 16 strings, and it has rows of buttons or keys on the instrument. It's hard to describe, but maybe the accordion would be a close, or if you've seen a hurdy-gurdy, it's kind of the same principle of hurdy-gurdy. And then, but I don't play all the strings. I'm actually only playing four, just like a regular violin. Mm-hmm. Then there's the other strings are sympathetic strings, which have that long ringing sound. It creates a very ethereal tone.
And where is this from originally?
This is actually from Sweden.
Sweden,
yes.
Okay, so we've got Sweden. I'm going to give a shout out because I'm not going to have time to play music. Today, this very day, December 6th, 1917, that'd be 102 years ago, Finland, our beloved Finland, achieved its independence from Russia. And as you may not know, but you probably do, this is a Scandinavian slash, or I should say Nordic slash Scandinavian town.
Oh, a world-famous cantele player lives
That's
here.
That's right, across the river, right. Vilho.
And they have annual Swedish festival here in town as well.
Well, we have the Scandinavian festival here, and then across the river we have every other, that's every year, across the river every other year is the Finnish American, and that's where Vilho's the king.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So let's hear, and then you are playing, I wrote it down, cittern.
Cittern, yes. 10 strings, an open-tuned instrument played in Irish and Swedish music, of which we do both.
And if you look at it, if you don't look carefully and you just gaze by, you might think it's some sort of guitar, but then you start counting the strings. And
or like a giant mandolin.
We'll play a little Swedish tune just really briefly.
Lovely, lovely.
Thank you.
So that's a Swedish tune.
Yes,
and
indeed.
Tonight you might be doing...
Oh, yes.
Okay.
We'll do some Swedish, a lot of Celtic, but and some original music,
mm-hmm.
a lot of different variety. It's not just a sleepy harp music. It's all over the place.
Well, I've also got Patrick's piece lined up here, and there was nothing sleepy about that one. It was... let's see, that's... Yeah. Yeah, I remember the concert, though, was quite delightful. All of the music and then the storytelling popping in and the three of you choreographing this whole thing. It's very exciting. And this is, they may be back sometime, but with Patrick living in County Clare now, he won't be coming back this way as often as he might have before. So I highly recommend the Performing Arts Center, 16th and Franklin, 7 o'clock concert. Come earlier to get your tickets and your seats. Legends of the Celtic Harp. I have two things lined up, and I think we may have time. So let me play this Irish blessing, okay? And it's called The Little Child.
That's the underscoring music. Actually, it's funny.
Music.
It's a Norwegian Christmas carol, which is played underneath an Irish blessing.
Of course.
That's the way we roll.
That's, you know, how could it be any other way? The other fun part about this is that, again, we've had Sweden. Now we're going to have Norway, you say?
That's right.
And I was talking about Finland. We're moving right along there. Mm-hmm. And here we go. An Irish blessing with... who's playing on this?
I'm playing the music, and Patrick is doing the...
Okay. Arye Frankfurter on the music, and then Patrick Ball giving us the blessing.
May the blessing of light be on you, light without and light within. May the blessed sunlight shine on you and warm your heart till it glows like a great peat fire, so that the stranger may come and warm himself at it, and also a friend. And may the light shine out of the two eyes of you like a candle set in two windows of a house, bidding the wanderer to come in out of the storm. And may the blessing of the rain be on you, the soft, sweet rain. May it fall upon your spirit, so that all the little flowers may spring up and shed their sweetness on the air. And may the blessing of the great rains be on you. May they beat upon your spirit and wash it fair and clean, and leave there many a shining pool where the blue of heaven shines and sometimes a star. And may the blessing of the earth be on you, the great round earth. May you ever have a kindly greeting for them you pass as you're going along the roads. And may the earth rest softly under you when you lay out upon it, tired at the end of a day. And may the earth rest lightly over you when, at the last, you lay out under it. May it rest so lightly over you that your soul may be up and off from under it quickly, then up and off, and on its way to God. And now, may God bless you, and bless you kindly.
That's a beautiful blessing. I think I need to keep that one. Well, I may be doing the New Year's Eve show, so I have to be playing that. But it's good for any season, really. So Patrick, have you been? Have you focused on storytelling or music, or is it all one for you?
Well, it all sort of came together at the same time. I first encountered storytelling because I lived in the Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina for about a year and a half at quite a famous craft school up not too far from Asheville, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And I met all these really fascinating people up in the mountains who had never really spent any time out of the mountains. And just the way they talked was just so fascinating. Mm-hmm. And I just love to hear them. And the guy that I worked with was the head groundsman, and I was his assistant. And we had a job one time, one of the very first jobs I ever had there with him. There were a big hive of bees infesting the rain gutter, and we had to get them out of there. It was an old dormitory, and they were about to sting all the students. And so... Charlie, my boss, says, "Pat, you're going to be the bee tester, and I'm going to be the bee getter. You go up there and test and see if they'll sting. And if they'll sting, I'm going to get them." And that was like the first time I ever heard anybody tell a story, talk in that kind of language. Uh-huh. People don't say stuff like that in California. And then when I finished up in North Carolina, I went over to Ireland. And my ancestry is mostly Irish, so I was kind of steeped in Irish things. And I have a master's degree in Irish history, so I had a background in Irish. But it was only when I started, living there or visiting there a lot that I really got captivated by it. And when I arrived in Ireland, I went to actually not too far from where I ended up living, this town of Listoon Varna. And it was in the middle of the winter. And so this woman gave me a place to stay. I mean, it was a bed and breakfast, but she was pretty much full up because there were a lot of, traveling business people in the bed and breakfast. And so, but she put me up in this tiny, tiny room at the very top of the house. And she says, "I'm sorry to put you in here now, because there's not room enough in here for two cats to dance."
Oh, wow. And I thought, that's wonderful.
Yeah, so I really loved listening to them. And so, eventually I began to hear people tell proper longer stories. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, that storytelling tradition died out with televisions and radios. Seems to be coming back a little bit. Mm-hmm. But the instinct and the sort of poetic nature of the Irish people always comes out in their speech and their music. So, and I found the harp around the same time.
Oh, really?
Well, when I came back from that trip to Ireland, I found the harp at the Renaissance Fair. Mm-hmm. And that's actually...
So what year are we talking-ish?
This was back in 1913.
I'm thinking the country fair started as a Renaissance fair in 1969.
No, what happened? No. I mean, basically what happened, the harp that I play is a very unique instrument, strung with wire strings, and it died out. It was the main instrument of Ireland for 1,000 years, and it died away, died out completely. They switched to playing gut strings, which descendant of that is the harp that Lisa and Arya play, the nylon strung harp. But there was a very strange guy by the name of Jay Witcher. Well, he was a brilliant guy. I mean, he was a little unusual.
He may be listening.
Yeah. But
or his descendants.
He had been an aerospace design engineer, worked for Lockheed and NASA and people like that. And he was also a keyboard player. And one day he went to Ireland, and somebody said, "You ought to go in that room there." And so he goes in this room and he finds all these festering ancient old harps. Mm. And so he took out his measuring tape and he measured all the harp. And he came back to California and he made the first true wire-strung harp after 200 years. And he was at the Renaissance Fair trying to sell it.
And there you were.
And then I was and I bought it.
Well, you know what? I think what we're going to do is hear it.
What a good idea.
Hear it, because... We are listening to Patrick Ball with Andro Neves, which is a traditional Breton piece, but he's playing it on the steel strung?
Brass strung harp.
And do you have that here for tonight, too?
Well, unless it's been stolen from the car, it's in my car right
Don't
now.
Don't even say such a thing. So I just want to thank my guests. That was Patrick Ball, Lisa Lynn, who's been a great communicator, and Arye Frankfurter. And they've got a mass of different harps, the cittern, the nickel harpa. Don't forget to check out these instruments. If these guys, unless they've changed radically, which I can assure you they haven't, they would be glad to answer questions and share their instruments. Well, they're not going to give them to you, but they'll be answering questions about them. Am I right?
Please, you are right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Well, thank you so much
thank
for coming.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And have a great concert again. This is the Legends of the Celtic Harp, a winter gift at the Performing Arts Center on 16th and Franklin at 7 p.m. tonight. And this is a one night only, so enjoy the concert.
Thank you.
So, wow, that was pretty exciting. Tonight. Well, folks, it is the season, and you know, around here, these days, it's always the season for arts. And they're...
Carol!
Uh-oh.
Carol!
Yes, Susan?
Hey, we've had an exciting phone call from New York City. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Oh, no, you're not. What's up?
Well, it just happened to be your big brother, and he wanted to wish you a happy 75th birthday today, Carol.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Bob and Vivian, for calling in. And thank you, Susan, for giving me those wishes.
I love talking to your brother.
3,000 miles is nothing around here. And see, extended family indeed. Thank you so much. And right now I have a whole bunch of friends here in the studio. Let's see. They're here for a reason. Oh, yes, I remember. They're all Peer Pressure Productions people. Ooh, it all goes together, doesn't it?
So,
now, you do have to come close to the mic when you're speaking or grab the mic. We actually have some radio people here who know these things, but I've got Susie Brown here. Susie, are you directing this time, or are you in it?
This is a multi-directed piece. We're all cooperating.
Well, you always cooperate, but I didn't. I see this is kind of like a chamber orchestra. There's no. Okay, well, that was Susie Brown, who is one of the leaders of the pack at the Peer Pressure Production. Too many P's around here. In addition, I have. I'm going to let them introduce themselves. I'm going to introduce why they're here. This is next weekend, Friday and Saturday and Sunday, Jacob Marley's Christmas Carol by Tom Mulla or Mula?
Mula, I think.
Mula, close enough. We got to compromise there. And I never heard of this before, so there, and perhaps the audience has, but I suspect most of us haven't. It's happening at the 1015 Theater, which is, you got it, 1015 Commercial in Astoria, Friday and Saturday, the 13th and 14th at 7:15, and Sunday the 15th at 4:15. Why the 15? Did you hear the address? 1015 Commercial. It's an easy way to remember everything around here. Do they really start at that time? Anyone's guess. I'm not really sure myself. So why don't we start over here? Tell us who you are, and somebody tell us about the play. Susie, Edward, somebody want to tell us what this is?
Sheila brought the play to me, so I'm going to hand it over to Sheila Schaefer to talk about the play.
Okay, Sheila. Okay. You're on.
Thank you. Jacob Marley's Christmas Carol is either a four-person play or a one-person play. It could be either one. We chose to do the four-person version. And it's from the perspective of Jacob Marley's ghost after he dies. So it's the Christmas Carol mixed in with Jacob Marley's story of how he...
Cheated his partner?
How he's redeeming himself after death.
Oh, my.
Yeah. I've always thought of it as kind of It's a Wonderful Life meets
Christmas Carol.
Oh, wow.
Because Marley gets the chance that Jimmy Stewart got.
In this play.
Yeah. Only he's dead.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Jimmy died.
Yes, he did.
Did he?
And he got a chance to come back and see how life would have been without him.
Right.
And,
it's a beautiful holiday story of redemption on many, many levels.
Is it very heavy?
There is comedy in it. It's lighthearted, but there's also the Christmas story. So it's also very touching, very heartwarming. And there is it's a ghost story. So there is some spooky stuff in there. You know, it's we're aiming it towards family. Friendly.
Oh, okay.
However, very young children with some of the ghost stuff might be a little bit spooked, but I think we're presenting it in a fashion that it shouldn't.
Yeah. No babies or dogs, please.
Yes.
Hey, dogs, what's wrong with dogs? Okay, so that was Edward James. So we have Sheila Schaefer, Susie Brown, Edward James. We also, on my right, your left, is Arnie Humisty.
Hi.
And Slabinski.
Hello.
And I've counted... Three people have already spoken, and now I've got two left, but she said it had to be a four-person or a one-person. That does make five. What are you guys doing?
Go ahead, Arnie.
Well, I'm playing Jacob Marley, so it's just kind of post-death odyssey. And, as Sheila said, it's...
I think you look pretty good for a dead person.
Thank you. There's a lot of humor in the play, but also it's really... there's a lot of heart, too. Mm-hmm. It's very touching and moving in many ways. And I think it's a great piece to usher in Christmas.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to it because it's different. Mm-hmm. And yet it is thematic for this time of year. Slab, what about you?
I'm playing a character called the Record Keeper, which is I give Jacob a job assignment. And basically it's how he has to redeem himself and in essence redeem Scrooge himself I'm also playing a couple of other parts, a couple of spirits, Fezziwig, you know, things,
here and, there.
And people, Cratchit.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, though. But the Record Keeper is phenomenal.
And is this a staged reading? Is that?
Yes.
Is this? Okay. Otherwise, it would be tricky to be all those characters. What about you, Edward? What's your part in this?
Well, I'm get off lucky. I mainly play Scrooge.
Okay.
So I get to listen to the play. Because it's not Scrooge's play. It's
right.
Jacob Marley's play. So, but I play Scrooge, and Scrooge is interesting. Of course, the casting opportunities after Scrooge are limited. You play hospital patients or corpses. So, truly.
Wait, I'll play my little violin for you, poor dear. Okay, so Susie and Sheila, what are you doing?
Well, not only is this a staged reading, it is the format that we're using is somewhat like a staged radio play in that our sound tech, William Hamm, and I will be running lighting and a few sound effects. We will actually be on stage.
I see. How many people are involved in this altogether?
Six who will be on stage.
Okay. And Sheila, let me think. Wait. Who's left? We've got Marley and Scrooge and the boss over here who plays everything else. Sheila.
I play the Bogle. And the Bogle is...
Is that a musical instrument?
No.
Okay.
It's more like the little devil on Jacob Marley's shoulder that's introducing him to his new home of hell.
Oh, my God. That must be fun.
Oh, yeah. And the Bogle also has... Unbeknownst at the beginning, it's kind of androgynous, right. Their own assignment as well. So,
wow.
Yes.
Where did you find this play, Sheila?
Oh, I love this play. I was just trying to find, being a theater person, different scripts that I could possibly use or recommend or monologues. And I saw this, and I am a huge, huge fan of Christmas Carol anyway. One of my favorite versions is Scrooge the Musical that I directed down at the Coaster a few years back. And any version of the Christmas Carol I could find, and this one, from the perspective of Jacob Marley, which is a relatively small role, you know, in the story itself.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, in the original, intrigued me immensely. Mm-hmm. And then when I saw it could be a one-man show or a four-person show, I'm like, well, there's a lot you can do with this script. And, you know, as far as setting and sound effects and casting, there are several different characters, and all of the actors are playing more than one character at some point, even if it's just for a few lines here or there. So,
even the dead guy.
Even the dead guy. Yeah.
Wow. Has this been done much, this play?
I have not seen it produced in this area, at least.
I've never heard of it.
But I think it's gaining popularity as far as one of the options you can do at Christmas time, just because when I go on the internet and check out, you know, I was typing in to see how our promotions were going in Astoria, and all these other promotions all over the country popping up. I'm like, oh,
that's
cool.
So when, do you know when it was written?
Oh, I don't remember.
Ish. I mean, last 10 years? Or?
I would say the last 15 years.
Last 15. Yeah. Okay. That's close enough. Well, it sounds like it's going to be absolutely delightful. Now, how do people get tickets to this?
Well, we'll have tickets at the door. But if you want to reserve, we really don't reserve tickets. Mm-hmm. But if you want to have more information, you can email PIER, Pressure Productions, II@gmail.com.
Aye, that's going to throw people off. Okay. Gmail.
Just think of it as Peer Pressure Productions 2.
Aha. Yes, got it. Okay. This, again, is happening next weekend, Friday night and Saturday night, at 7:15, Sunday at 4:15. Now, from what Susie just told you, I would say best thing is to get there nice and early. How early can they get there to get their tickets? How early will you be selling?
We'll open the house a half hour before. So 6:45 on Friday and Saturday.
Okay. And that's when you'll start selling the tickets, when you open the house. Okay.
Yes.
So be there. And it should be wonderful. Everything so far at Peer Pressure Productions has been terrific. In case you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm sorry. You better email and find out, because it is our almost brand new Black Box Theater, second generation. And so we are all very thrilled to have yet another theater venue in this town. And the address again, easy to remember because of those 15s, 1015 Commercial, next weekend. Anything else we need to know?
Yes, only three performances. And this is also the last play for Peer Pressure Productions. The theater is restructuring and renaming. There will still be theater in this town, but Peer Pressure Productions is flying off.
Oy, my heart is pitter-pattering. It better not fly too far. As long as it returns, the Phoenix.
There will still be... the people who have been involved in it, we will still be doing theater. It just won't be the Peer Pressure Production name any longer.
Okay. So come next weekend and find out what the heck she's talking about. I have no idea. This is new to me, too. Thank you so much for coming in again. Sheila Schaefer, Susie Brown, Edward James, Arnie Humisty, and Slab Slabinski. Thank you so much. And whoever needs to break a leg...
Thank you for having
me. Thank you, Carol.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Thanks, Guy. Woo-hoo. Thanks so much. And I'm going to put on a piece of music because, as everybody realizes, today is December 6th. I was born in 1944, but December 7th, 1941. Yeah.
He said, my name is Nakashima. I am a proud American. I came here in 27 from my homeland of Japan. And I picked your grapes and oranges, save some money, bought a store. Until 1942, Pearl Harbor and the war, came the relocation orders. They took our house, the store, the car, and they drove us through the desert to a place called Manzanar, a Spanish word for apple orchards. Though we saw no apple trees, just the rows of prison barracks barbed wire boundaries. And we dream of apple blossoms waving free beneath the stars, till we'd wake up in the desert, the prisoners of Manzanar.
Yeah. So another opportunity for us to give thought to what we're doing in this world this very day. Well, my next guest came all the way up from, where'd you come from, Cannon Beach?
Yes.
Okay. Andrew is here from the Tolovana Arts Colony, one of my favorite groups that's, well, it was touch and go for a while there, wasn't it? I wasn't involved on the inside, but you weren't here.
I mean, like, that's, yeah. You know, that's a different era. We are so stable and strong and
that's
vibrant.
That's what's so exciting is this Billy Holtz and Uncle Michael put this together, and then they both went and died, which was awful. And I didn't know what was going to happen.
You know, I say we're strong, but we will always be scrappy as well.
Yeah,
And their image.
And you're very good, well put. But you're also very much a community organization mm-hmm. with so much of the input from the community. So mm-hmm. right now you are putting on the 4th annual holiday gift party and bazaar. And I've been to a couple of them. I got lost the first time. I couldn't find the darn Tolovana Hall. It's so dark, you know, on that road. But it was certainly a delightful gathering. So why don't you tell us, it's art show and craft bazaar, all local, am I right?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. No, you're right. Like, you know, the word community is important. It's on Friday night, Friday, December 13th, Friday the 13th, easy to remember.
Oh. I forgot about that.
It's as much as a community party as it is, you know, a bazaar. Like, we're mm-hmm. we're going to feed you. We're going to, you know.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
It's a place for people to come hang out and, you know, enjoy each other and also shop and get, you know, cool local stuff.
And it's not a large place. It's a very intimate feeling. Mm-hmm. And all the people there seem to connect with one another as well. And then... because it's the artists selling their own works, the prices are quite good.
Well, yeah, I mean, as a nonprofit, we give a much more equitable split than the usual gallery. But it is a smaller space, and it's different. It's not the usual kind of thing where you see so many bazaars happening this time of year. It's not the kind of thing where each artist has a big booth and they're sitting behind. It's more like a pop-up shop in a mm-hmm. way. You know, they're not. You're kind of more free to peruse. Without, you know, someone, the creator looking back at you, which can be helpful. You know, it can be, you know, and a lot of the artists are around on Friday night if you have questions or, you know, want to learn about these things. But it's also open Saturday and Sunday afternoons from 11 to 3. And that's, a much more peaceful
right. But you can go to both because mm-hmm. obviously it's free mm-hmm. to just walk in.
Well, and because all of this stuff is, you know, handmade, some of it's going to be gone Friday night.
It's a lot of it is one mm-hmm. of a kind. And but again, the artists are there and the craftsmen mm-hmm. are there. So you can talk to them about what they do, where they do it, and mm-hmm. how to connect with them. So, and Andrew, what is your position there?
I'm the program director.
So what other kinds of fabulous things does Tolovana Arts Colony have going on?
Well, tomorrow we have a leather crafting workshop, but that's full.
Oh.
So I don't have to promote it, which is cool.
Okay, we'll be that way.
okay. Coming up in the January, February range, I'm going to do another stand-up comedy show. We're maybe going to screen a film about Ursula Le Guin.
Oh, wow.
There may be some anti-Valentine's Day dance.
How does somebody find you?
TolovanaArtsColony.org. It's TOLOVANA.
And are you still doing classes on a regular basis?
There are regular weekly dance classes and movement classes, and then the workshops, as I call them, are one-offs like this leather crafting thing.
Right. So. And it's all in Cannon Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So how many folks are involved in running this organization?
Well, there's me and the board, and the board currently has 7 members, and many of them send their warmest regards to my new house coming up. They all love you so much.
Oh, that's sweet.
And then we have, you know, an extended family of artists and volunteers. And I mean, it's hard to, you know,
Tell us some...
To know where the arts colony stops and the
right.
town...
And the community.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tight arts community. And that, I think, is why Billy and Michael started this, because there are so many mm-hmm. artists in Cannon Beach. And let's get them teaching classes and giving it mm-hmm. back there. And so about the art show, which, again, mm-hmm. is... Next weekend, the big party is on Friday the 13th, and then it's also Saturday and Sunday. Can you give us just some kinds of things that people are going to be able to find there?
Absolutely. We have stained glass work. We have woodwork, jewelry, fine arts. What else are we talking about here? I mean, a little bit of everything, clothing. I would like to, we have a little bit of space, and I kind of want to make a call because I'm really looking for some handmade, locally made beauty products and like house, you know, home goods. Like we last year we had a great, you know, locally made organic detergents and soaps, and that person is unfortunately not available. But like, so I'm looking for a little bit. And if there's something else that out there
idea.
In the community, if you have a... If you have something, get in touch, you know.
So the best way is to go to the website?
Yeah.
TolemanaArtsColony.org.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I remember that. It was like, what's that doing here? And then we find out this is locally made. And so why not turn it over to the community? Great. So this is, again, the fourth annual Tolemana Arts Colony Holiday Gift Party and Bazaar, Art Show and Craft Bazaar. Friday the 13th at 6 p.m. opening. That's the extravaganza.
Yes.
I love it. And then Saturday and Sunday, 11 to 3.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the address, and this is important, especially if you do have a GPS, you're home free. Otherwise, just pay attention. It's 3779 South Hemlock. Sounds easy. Okay, good luck.
Yeah, it's easy. See, we are going to get a new sign.
Okay, so. Maybe some lights or something.
Oh, it'll be bright and bustling on Friday night. You won't miss it.
Oh, I may have arrived too early. But I did find it, and I had a wonderful time. So thank you so much, Andrew. And do you say Tonry or Tonry?
You got it on the first one, Tonry.
Tonry. It's T-O-N-R-Y. Tricky. So thank you so much for coming up. And... folks, if you've got something, even if it isn't in the departments that Andrew mentioned, if you've got something you think might be work for this festival, this party and bazaar, check them out, TolemanaArtsColony.org.
Yeah, thank you, Carol.
Okay,